everyone. I'm Mark DeGrasse, and this is the In the Garage podcast with CarParts.com. I have Ivan Zerpa here. We're going to be talking about Mini Coopers, which is something that we actually haven't done on the podcast yet. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So, I remember when the Mini Cooper, the new one, came out, and it was just like this huge deal because it's such a classic car over in Europe. Yeah. What got you into it?
Honestly, the compactness of the car. Just that I'm able to park it anywhere and everywhere. Living around like the Koreatown in LA area, it's sometimes tough to find a parking. So it's amazing for that. That and the gas mileage, actually. I came from owning an Infiniti, which was a very nice car for me, but gas mileage wasn't that great. So I was looking for something that had some better gas mileage.
That's good, but it's still fun and zippy. And
Absolutely. The one thing about Mini Coopers, you feel every bump on the road. whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, up to you, but it's like driving a little bumper car.
I love that.
You feel everything.
Well, the thing is, with smaller cars, I always feel like you're going faster than you are just because you're so close to the ground.
That's true. You know, it's actually funny. As I read about this a while ago, the Mini Coopers actually designed where your miles per hour is actually about 3 or 4 miles higher than you're actually going. I guess it's to compensate for the size of the car or something.
Yeah,
something
the wheel
like that.
Size.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, you know what's funny about the Mini Cooper too is that it's bigger on the inside than you think it'll be. Like, it's not as... I thought it was going to be super tiny.
Yeah, I've actually been in a Fiat, and the size difference is large compared to a Mini. Like, it's tiny compared to the Mini. I have so much more room in the Mini, and it's kind of counterintuitive to think that way because the Mini is so small, but it's definitely quite roomy. I just made a Sam's Club trip yesterday. We had the car filled up to the top, basically.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of like a little box, right?
Right.
Like, exactly. You got the corners, and you can get some interesting things in there.
Exactly. You know?
That's awesome. So what year is yours?
Mine is a 2013. So it's not that new. I've actually had it since 2015, so about 8 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I try to do all the maintenance, all the repairs on it myself. So I'm just learning as I go.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's an older car at this point. How many miles do you have on it?
It's actually over 100,000 miles at this point, which is not – you don't see that often for a Mini. Minis technically tend not to last that.
Really? I didn't know that. 100,000 miles these days is kind of like, oh, yeah, of course.
It sounds like you should last that long, but Minis tend to not last that long. And it's mainly due to the maintenance required on them. Some of the repairs can be quite expensive. And I knew that going in. So I had to convince myself that I was going to actually learn stuff as I owned the car.
Ah, I love that. Yeah. Well, and you didn't go in with some kind of false expectation that you're not going to have to do that.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No. I knew I researched a few problems that the Mini Coopers tend to have, especially in that year. So I was already prepared for down the road having to do those repairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good way to prep yourself for what's coming. So what were the kind of big repairs that were needed?
So on my Mini, I've actually been lucky. I've kept up on the maintenance, so it hasn't been a ton. I have had to do the thermostat, which is a part that usually tends to fail on that car because it's made of plastic. It's an electronic thermostat. I think some of the other, forgive me, I'm not like a huge car guy, but I know my car. I know a lot of thermostats are not electrical. Mm-hmm. The Minis is, so it tends to fail because it's plastic and it's an electrical part. And that was quite an adventure to replace that, actually.
Really?
You really have to be careful to follow the steps in the right order. And it's actually one of the things I like about working on cars. It's kind of taught me that you have to do things in the right order. You can't skip steps. And, you know, it's something that I translate into my job pretty much.
Yeah, that's we were actually talking earlier on a different episode about, you know, just how a lot of the lessons that you learn from working on cars or any of these kinds of projects actually bleeds into almost everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. One of the worst experiences I had with not my Mini, but actually my girlfriend's Mini, because she actually owns a Mini too. So I had to learn how to work on Minis to fix her car as well. But one of the worst experiences I had there was actually not torquing bolts to the right specification.
Okay.
You know, I was the under the impression that you just go...
Just crank.
Yeah, yeah. Put your body into it. And I broke a bolt. And that was a experience. I will... definitely not recommend that experience to anyone. So definitely invest in a torque wrench, because it's very useful.
Yes. Well, and just understand that you don't, you know, every piece has its own, you know, specifications that you have to meet. Otherwise, stuff breaks.
And it's funny because
work.
Not being a person who works on cars all the time and not being a person that has that sort of background, I always thought that, especially for items where there's like coolant or oil involved, the tighter the better. You know, you don't want it. You don't want it to leak. Exactly. So that was my impression, and that was not the right one, needless to say. But it was a fun experience.
Well, it's interesting how you talked about kind of having to follow procedure, because I think for especially the compact cars, you have different systems kind of layered on top of each other to make the space more efficient. Which means if you put the one piece in first, then the other piece isn't going to be able to come on.
You do. And actually, what's funny about Mini Coopers, and I will definitely be a spokesperson for them, but they are actually more roomy to work on than other cars that I've worked on. As I mentioned, I have a older Infiniti, a G37.
Oh, nice.
So it's definitely a nice car, but it's an older car, so it's also needed, you know, a few simple repairs. I feel like I have more room to work in the engine bay of the Mini than I do the Infiniti, and that car is huge compared to the Mini.
Which one do you like driving more?
The Mini.
Why do you even have the G37 then? I guess it looks fancier.
Yeah, it is. And I had that car before the Mini. I just wanted something that saved me on gas. So hence why I got the Mini.
That makes sense. All right. So you have the temperature gauge. What other, have you had any big issues that you've had to solve? Like anything, transmission or drivetrain issues?
Luckily, no.
No?
Luckily, no. I've been good about making sure I take my Mini in for maintenance updates to the transmission, because that's one piece I'm actually not a fan of touching myself, the transmission. It just seems overly complicated, and I don't want to get into that myself. So I do take it for transmission oil changes every 40,000 miles, 50,000 miles or so. So it's not bad. But other than that, there's been no major issues. And like I said, I think it has to do with the fact that I'm constantly up to date on checking the oil, the coolant, things like that. In fact, people make fun of me because I'm one of those people that still carries a jug of oil in the car.
A jug of oil?
Yeah.
Oh, does it burn oil or leak?
The Mini tends to burn a lot of oil. The engine's smaller. It runs a little bit hotter, so it tends to burn a lot of oil. Not leak. I mean, it can potentially leak, but doesn't tend to do that. It tends to burn it more often than not.
Oh, okay. So do you think do you think you've saved a lot of money by doing the kind of basic repairs and just the maintenance items?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I will say on my girlfriend's Mini, her timing chain actually went out on her Mini. And that's actually a big job that I took on. That was a fun project. I had to enlist the help of some of my friends that were more mechanically inclined than I was to help me out with that project. But it turned out really well. And I'd say since we've done that job on her car, the car's been running for about 4 years now. Wow. Great. So it's saved a ton of money, because the other option was just simply buying a brand new car at that point in time, because that repair is super expensive and it's quite difficult. But I will say, with the tools that are available now, you know, ChatGPT, YouTube. Mm-hmm. I actually use ChatGPT
for
some of my repairs when I'm stuck on a problem.
Oh, actually, you're the first one to say that. Usually we just say internet, but ChatGPT.
You could ask it a few questions and it definitely points you in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's one of the wonderful things about AI.
Well, and it doesn't, try to advertise you the whole time or sell you a solution based on, you know, a certain tool or a certain part that people want you to buy. So I get it. And then you get the clear path.
Very true.
Do you have the manuals?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't have the manuals. I am not great at actually looking up, doing the old school method of looking up a manual and step by step on the manual. I usually am a visual learner.
Okay.
So YouTube helps a lot.
Yeah.
J.C. Whitney is back. The original auto parts catalog, a garage staple and cultural cornerstone for over 100 years, is now a magazine. Whether you're a newcomer or a longtime gearhead, J.C. Whitney instills confidence by delivering expertly curated auto parts and a gateway to engaging community experiences, entertainment, resources, and inspiration. Learn more about the new J.C. Whitney at jcwhitney.com. Download the CarParts.com app and accelerate convenience with access to over 850,000 auto parts at your fingertips. We make it easier to find the parts you need, anytime, anywhere. Get it now on the Apple App Store and Google Play.
Do you just have it queued up the whole time? You're just pausing every few seconds? That's how I end up...
You know what I do, actually, is I watch the video for about a week before,
really?
Like almost every day, just to make sure I kind of have the steps in mind. And it helps a lot, actually. I mean, I still have to refer to it every once in a while, but it helps a lot. Honestly, I'd say for anyone that doesn't do the repairs on their car, YouTube, ChatGPT, Google, all great resources. You will find everything you need to learn there. And it's honestly not as hard as it looks half of the time.
No, that makes sense. Well, and it's, I love the idea of just watching it for a bit, you know,
right.
Because then you actually have that ingrained in your memory. So now when you go to do it, you don't have to keep on looking at each one of the steps because you basically know what's supposed to happen. And it probably gives you a lot of confidence when you get into it, right?
100%. When I did the timing chain, I probably spent about a month looking at videos and different videos of how people do it, some of the problems that they ran into. So I was fully prepared for that challenge. It didn't turn out 100% right. I did have to take it to a mechanic just to do some of the tuning.
Yeah.
Since I didn't have the equipment for that. But other than that, it saved us a ton of money. I think we were quoted around $4,000 for that job. So definitely would have been a job that would not have been worth it for the car at the time.
Oh, that actually, I really like that because it's not that you had to be perfect on the repair. As long as you got it started,
exactly,
and moving, now you could go have it, finished.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And since then, I've been way more confident at taking jobs, whether it's my car, family member's car, because that's the one thing. Once you...
Once you tell anybody.
Once they find out, everybody will be going to you to do some repairs, whether it's simple brake jobs, oil changes, things like that. But it's so much different than my normal life. At work, I mainly work with data and data analytics, things like that. So it's very different and just gives me a chance to work with my hands, which I don't get to do. And I really enjoy that.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. It's, I mean, sitting at a desk all the time is nice.
It is nice.
But no, yeah, complaints. You don't get outside. You don't necessarily interact with people who have the same interests as you do, which, I think cars gives you the ability to get into that. And you save a ton of money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Learn how to do stuff.
Absolutely.
So what would you say is some of the pitfalls of somebody who's thinking about that, like maybe getting an older car or just avoiding, kind of doing those major repairs that they want to start getting into the maintenance? How would you recommend they do that?
I would start just by doing a little bit of research on the car and on some of the typical fail points of it. You can usually find that information fairly easily. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, I would invest into a good set of tools. I know we carry a lot of different types of tools here at CarParts.com. I would invest into a good quality set, whether it's with us or anywhere else, just because once you have a complete tool mechanics tool set, you feel more comfortable of actually starting on a job. The fact that you don't have the right tool doesn't stop you from actually doing a job, because a lot of times just not having the right tools can actually be a barrier to actually starting the job.
Oh, huge barrier. I've had projects where it's just like you got to run to the hardware store so many times that
right.
You're just like, you know what? I'm giving up. I'm not going to get this fixed. But yeah, if you just have a good set, then that'll save you a ton of time and effort anyways.
It'll keep save it you a ton of time. The other thing I would say, invest in breaker bar.
Breaker bar, yeah.
Yeah, especially for older cars. Breaker bars are indispensable, I would say, especially when you have some rusted on bolts or you're trying to take off the tires on the car. When you go to a tire shop, they use the...
they crank it on.
Exactly, right. Even the even the oil drain plug sometimes is on there really tight. So having a breaker bar can be a lifesaver, and it can just relieve a lot of stress of you trying to spend hours trying to break a bolt open.
Yeah. All right, and don't break the bolt.
Don't break bolts. That's another tip.
No, that's great. So when you do the work on the car, do you have a garage that you work out of, or is it, you know?
I am lucky enough to have like a pretty long driveway and carport. So I'm able to, you know, just park the car there and get to work on it there. So it's nice. So you do get outside, you do get a little bit of sun, you get your vitamin D. It's definitely a fun project. Whenever I have anything to work on, it's a change from my normal day to day. So I look forward to those days, actually.
Oh, I like that. How often do you end up working on?
I'd say about once every 2 months or so. So it's not often. I mean, I definitely would not like to do that as my daily job. You know, there's other better people that can do it way better than I can. But I don't mind taking on projects for family members, for friends, for myself, you know, when those projects are available.
Oh, really? So when that happens, do you end up going to their house, or do you say you got to bring it to me?
They usually bring it to me just because I usually have the space, the tools, everything. Over the years, I've built up quite an array of different tools. So it's best if they can bring it over.
Oh, I like that. So what would you say is, how many tools do you think you have? Because, I mean, you have your typical toolkit. You got a big chest now, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah. I would say it's a huge chest. Different types of ratchets and just different tools, because over the years I've worked, like I said, on timing chains, and they all have different types of bolt heads, and it's good to have, you know, just one of each so that you make sure that, like I said, not having the right tool doesn't stop you or slow you down.
Yes. And I will say, I completely agree that that could stop you, and, you know, and it's just annoying. And then you spend an hour looking for something and you're like, I could have been done already.
Not only that, but it's always good to have a few extra 10 millimeters around.
Yes. Yeah. We mentioned that on quite a few episodes where it's like, just buy a pile. I think at car parts, we should probably just sell a bag of them.
Yeah.
Like, here, absolutely. You're going to need all. Actually, we were talking about doing a keychain. So
that's actually a great idea, but then I'd be afraid I might lose my keys.
No, you're going to lose your keys. You're going to save your 10 millimeter.
That's true.
Awesome. So if somebody's thinking about doing something like this, would you recommend the Mini Cooper as being a good kind of, not a project car, I would say, but like a daily driver project car?
I personally love the Mini Cooper. I would recommend it to anyone. Like I said, the only requirement, I would say, the only thing you really need is just the ability to kind of do some basic maintenance, check your oil, check your coolant. Oil is probably the most important thing, just because those cars tend to burn out, especially if you go for an older Mini. Mm. But outside of that, the car is great. It's fun to drive. It's quite zippy, even if you don't have a turbocharged one. It's quite zippy. You can get around easily. You can park easily. So I love it. I actually don't foresee myself ever giving up a Mini Cooper.
Really? Well, yeah. Do you have kids?
I don't. That's why.
That might be. You might trade it up for a van at some point. No, we don't have vans.
Maybe in the future.
You know what's funny is I try to get my wife to buy one all the time. I'm like, oh, you know, vans are pretty practical, because sometimes on trip we'll rent some and I'm like, it's so big.
It's
and there's so
roomy.
Many places that
I've
you
done
can put
that too.
Stuff. Yeah, it's awesome.
So. And you know, some of them actually come with vacuums now. I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's super practical. But yeah, no, never get my wife to do that. Well, thank you so much. I think this has been a ton of fun. I think, you know, hopefully you sold some people on the Mini Cooper. I think they're super stylish. They look fun. I've driven one a couple times, and they are zippy. It's like having a go-kart.
Yes, definitely.
And it gives you that feel for the road without, I think, a lot of the danger that comes with driving, because you can't go that fast.
You could go pretty fast.
You go pretty fast.
I do love the Mini, so I definitely will be a spokesperson for them.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we'll carry some more parts for them, too.
Definitely will.
Well, thank you so much, Ivan.
All right, thank you.
And thank you for listening. If you want to hear more of these episodes about specific vehicles as well as categories of cars in general, please listen again.